Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us this week for our Sunday snippet, whenever and wherever you are. During these Sunday snippets, we like to take a moment to pause in our busy day and our busy schedule to meditate and reflect on the words of Scripture. So let us begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our reading today is from the 32nd chapter of Exodus. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them and formed it in a mold and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before the golden calf. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." And so the people rose early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is an interesting passage in Scripture that we have. And to fully understand the whole picture of our passage today, we have to back up a bit by going all the way back to chapter 19. Because in chapter 19, it's here that we read about the Israelites have come to the end of a long journey to Mount Sinai after leaving Egypt. They have wandered through the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, and tired. And each time God has provided for them food to eat, water to drink, and a place to find rest. Now when they get to Mount Sinai, God's plan is to give them the Ten Commandments and God's will for the people. So Moses, being the Israelites' leader and God's prophet, goes up to the mountain alone to talk with God about these things. While Moses is on the mountaintop, God instructs Moses in the Ten Commandments, how the tabernacle is to be built, how the Ark of the Covenant should be built and placed in the center of the community. All of these things are to make it possible for God to live among the Israelites at the center of their community, at the center of their livelihood. And in a few verses before our passage today begins, God gives to Moses the two stone tablets so that Moses can give these to the people of God. Moses is to keep these commandments in the center of the community, to keep their relationship with God at the center of their livelihood. But our passage begins with the Israelites having grown restless in their waiting. They are tired of waiting for God, and they are tired of waiting for Moses. So they go to Aaron, and like they have before on this journey, they complain about what they should do now. They pressure Aaron for gods to worship, gods to see, gods to control. Gods made by themselves, for themselves. And Aaron agrees. He casts for them an image of a calf made from the gold rings on their ears. And the people have these created gods. They begin to celebrate. In this celebration, Aaron builds an altar in front of this golden calf. Aaron goes even further, making a proclamation for a festival and a feast. The people bring offerings and sacrifices to these gods. The people then eat and drink and revel in celebrating the gods they have made. It is in this passage for today that we see the Israelites are quick to abandon the God who saves them from Egypt. They are quick to abandon the God who provides for them in the wilderness. They are quick to abandon the God who wants to be among them in their daily lives. Instead, they choose a God that they have created. They choose a God that they can see before them. They choose a God that they can cast and mold and melt down and build again and again and again. They choose a God that can't do anything for them or against them. In the Bible, we call this act of choosing or placing false gods or things before God idolatry. In the Old Testament narrative, it is the major sin of God's people and how they turned their backs on God time and time again. As Christians, we understand the first commandment that is given to the Israelites to teach against idolatry by teaching us to have no other God. And I think in our lives today, when we aren't careful, we might think that we aren't surrounded by false gods like the Israelites were anymore. But these false gods are anything and everything we place above our relationship with God, anything and everything we seek to control, thinking we can make our lives better. These false gods are all around us in our lives today. These false gods are in the money we value to better ourselves rather than the well-being of our neighbor. These false gods are in the partisan politics and opinions we use to control the world around us, rather than serving and helping those in need. These false gods are in the leaders who tell us everything we want to hear rather than what God needs us to hear. These false gods are even in the twisting of God's word, both in Christ and in Scripture, that leads us to focus on ourselves rather than those around us. When we aren't careful, we choose these false gods without realizing it. When we aren't careful, we can harm those closest to us, harm those we are called to serve and help, harm our relationship with God, especially when we turn to these false gods. But when we return to our passage for today, the Israelites find themselves at the mercy of a God who is gracious and merciful. Instead of destroying the Israelites and starting over only with Moses, Moses intercedes on behalf of the Israelites to remind God of the promises made to the Israelites and their ancestors, that they are his people and he is their God. As the Israelites struggle throughout the Old Testament narrative to honor this first commandment, to have no other gods, God sends prophets to bring them back to God, to remind them that God is forgiving, is gracious, and wants to be in a right relationship with them, to be at the center of their community and their lives. And it is this same God who comes to us today when we turn towards these false gods, when our focus becomes on ourselves rather than those around us. God honors this same promise to us to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God has sent to us a prophet in Christ, a prophet who intercedes on our behalf and goes further to take our punishment on the cross, who goes further to win us the gift of the resurrection, the gift of the forgiveness of our sins, the gift of faith in God. And God goes even further by giving us the Holy Spirit, who always turns us back to God and to the needs of others in our daily living. My friends, in our lives today, as we struggle to honor this first commandment, God honors the promises made to us at the cross and in the resurrection, that we are loved and freed, that we are forgiven and redeemed, that we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And as God honors all these promises and more, the Holy Spirit turns us back to the God who loves us, who is for us, who saves us, who wants to be at the center of our lives. And it is with the Holy Spirit that our focus, our center is on God, is on the needs of the stranger, is on the well-being of our community. Because we are forgiven, because we are redeemed, because we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, God brings us into this right relationship of how we are God's people. And God is our one and only God. So, my friends, I invite you this week to listen to where the Holy Spirit is guiding us to bring our focus towards God, to listen to where the Holy Spirit is leading us to serve those like and unlike us, to listen to where the Holy Spirit is turning us away from those false gods and towards our one true and triune God, who is our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for always pursuing us with love, mercy, and justice. Trusting in your Holy Spirit, who turns us back to you with humbleness and faith, help us this week to turn our attention towards you in all that we do. Empowered by your Holy Spirit, help us to go into the world this week to help, support, and provide for those in need, both like us and unlike us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the one who reconciles us to you and intercedes on our behalf. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.